Amen. Thank you, Doug. Thank you for bringing that. That is a verse that God has just laid on my heart, just a life verse. Thank you for singing that for us. Is he the King of the Jews? Is he the King of you? We've been looking at this for a few weeks now. We started on Good Friday and we were looking at the question, is he the King of the Jews? And we saw his death one week, and then we saw his resurrection the next. And we determined he's the King of the Jews. And the next question is for you. It's for me. Well, is he the King of you? We saw last week your death. And this week we want to look at what was just sung about your resurrection. What does that look like? It made me think of a book that we've read at different times to our children. Maybe you've seen it before. The Very Hungry Caterpillar by Eric Carle. Maybe you've seen this before, but this is a beautiful picture of your resurrection. You see, we all know that a caterpillar is nothing that beautiful, doesn't have a lot of splendor to it. Then it goes into this sort of cocoon state where it just kind of seems to be dead and dormant. And you could look at it as it's, in a sense, buried, it's dead. But then it rises out of that cocoon. It breaks through that cocoon, and we all know that the transformation is amazing. And it becomes a beautiful butterfly. And it's completely different. It has a whole new life. Before, all it could do is walk around and eat things, and now it can fly wherever it wants, and it's just beautiful. I think that's a picture of what God is doing in anyone's life who acknowledges their need of a Savior. They realize their sinful state. They know that they need a Savior. They hear the good news. They believe that Jesus Christ is this Savior sent. They repent. They put their faith in Him. And just as He died, just as Doug sang, I have been crucified with Christ. And now I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And what happens in any believer's life is they're buried with Christ. In baptism, just as He died, in a sense, you were an old ugly caterpillar and you got in that cocoon and you died, if you're a believer. And then, just as He's raised from the dead, you're raised to walk in new life. And if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if your faith's in Jesus, then you have burst forth out of that cocoon. You are raised to walk in new life. You're a butterfly now. You have a whole new life. You can fly. You have the beauty of Almighty God in you and with you. You're a new creation of splendor in Christ Jesus. Well, let's look at this together. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Let's look at verses 1 through 14. And let's see here your resurrection. Let's see what this looks like in your life and in my life. If you're new at this, this is in Romans. That's your New Testament. That's about the last third of your Bible. Just turn there. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You'll see Acts. And then you'll come to Romans. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, but let's pray together. Father, we just ask that you would speak to us, Lord. Lord, please get me out of the way. We need to hear from you, Lord Jesus. I don't want to mess this up. Speak to each of our hearts your word. May we receive it and put it into practice. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God tells us this in Romans 6, 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Well, here's what your resurrection will look like. First of all, we notice in the first four verses, you died, so now you can live a new life. What does your resurrection look like? Well, know that first. You died, so now you can live a new life. We see that in those first four verses. Notice in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Now, that is the case. That grace would increase. The more we sin, the more you sin. Yes, the grace does increase. The more you sin, the more grace you have. Yes, that is true. The song is true that says, grace greater than all my sin. So yes, God's grace is always bigger than your sin. No matter what you do, yes, his grace is bigger. It will cover it. The greater the sin, the greater the grace. But should we go on and sin then? That's what Paul is saying here. Should we go on and just sin a whole lot so we get a whole lot of God's grace? The more we sin, the more grace we get. That's a good thing, right? And what does he say? By no means, with an exclamation point. Of course not. That's absurd. Who would do that? Who loves the Lord Jesus? Who would want to displease him? That's ridiculous. And so, of course, he says, by no means. You died to sin. Why in the world would you live in it any longer? He says in verse 2. And then in verse 4, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead. That same power that raised Christ from the dead will give you a whole new life. Maybe you responded to that first question I asked this morning. Do you need a new life? Maybe that was you raising your hand saying, yes, yes. Well, it's here. That same power that raised Christ from the dead will give you a new life. That's what he's saying here. You know, some of you may have had experience playing video games, or maybe you've seen children playing video games, or when you were younger, maybe you played video games. And you know, you always have a life in the video game. You can play and you've got this life. But you know, if things go really, really bad, sometimes you just want to die. Yeah, let this man die on the video game so I can have a new one. Let's move on to the second one. Maybe you've seen it in games. Maybe you've seen it in ping pong. I've probably been there in ping pong before. And somebody's just killing you. It's like 12 to 0. And you just say, man, what are we playing up to? Let me just die. Let's just finish this one. You won. Okay, get to 21 and then we'll do a new one. Let's have a new one. I felt a little bit like that yesterday. In one of the games I coached, Christian wasn't able to be there, but I was helping coach. And in one of those games, that score got pretty high. I think it was 16 or 17, and we were still at 4. You know, that feeling comes, man, let's just end this thing. Maybe you've felt like that before. In life, I just need to die. Let me die to self. I need a new start. Well, that's what God promises. That's what he's got for you. That's exactly what he has. Are you living your new life? That's the question for you this morning. Are you living this new life? Maybe it's been given to you. Maybe God has extended to you. Maybe he's given it, but are you living it? Well, maybe it's time. Maybe it's about time. So, here's what your resurrection will look like. You died, so now you can live a new life. And secondly, you died with Christ. Now live with Christ for God. We see that in verses 5 through 10. In verse 6, you were crucified with him so the body of sin might be done away with. That's a good thing. You died with Christ. When he died 2,000 years ago, you were there. God put all of your sins on him. Your sinful nature. Anything that's wrong about you or bad about you, it was all put on Christ. You were there. All of your sins, your sin nature was put on Christ. You were with him. In verse 6, you were crucified with him so the body of sin might be done away with. Your old sinful nature, it died. All your sins died with him. And so now you're no longer slaves to sin, but you're free. You're free. That old nature is dead. It's gone. You are free. And then in verse 8, we died with Christ. And we will now live with him. Verse 8 says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Then in verse 10, the death he died, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. And so Jesus is raised from the dead and he lives to God. Well, you died with him is what God is telling us here. This is what Scripture is telling us. When Scripture speaks, God speaks and he is telling you, you died with him. Now you don't remember. I don't remember being there, do you? You might not remember that. You died with him. You don't remember it. You're not conscious of it, consciously aware of it. But nonetheless, it's true. You were there. Your sin nature, all of your sins were placed on Christ. And you died with him. And so now, you now live with him. You died with him. Now he's raised from the dead. And now you live with him. Now, you might not be consciously aware that you're living with him. You might not see him. But you are with him. Just like you died with him and you're not consciously aware of it, you are living with him. He's been raised from the dead. You might not see him, but nonetheless, it's true. You are living with him. If you are a believer, you are living by faith. And that's God's instructions to us. You don't see him, but you live by faith. You are with him, living with him. You now live with him to God, just as Christ was living to God, or for God. You could say for God. So you're living with him for God. This is what we see in other places in Scripture, other instruction from God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what we're talking about. You're with him. You're living with him. He's in you. He's living through you. You live by faith. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's with you. What Doug just sang about for us. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's in you. You live with him. Well, are you? Are you living with Christ for God? Are you living it out? He's with you. Are you living with Christ for God? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Well, finally, consider yourself alive to Christ under grace and offer yourself to him. Consider yourself alive to Christ under grace and offer yourself to him. We see this in verse 11 through 14. In verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Count yourself alive to God in Christ Jesus. You're dead to sin, and so it no longer reigns over your body. See that in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. You see, you're dead to sin. Count yourself alive to God and dead to sin. No longer use your body for sin, for wickedness. That hand no longer needs to steal. Those eyes no longer need to lust. Those feet no longer need to take you to places God doesn't want you. Your feet now need to take you where the Lord wants you. Your mouth no longer needs to be an instrument of wickedness, bringing people down. You ever say anything negative about anybody? Oh, no. God tells us in James, blessing and curses should never come from the same mouth. Only blessing. We should use our mouths to build people up, never to tear down. And so no longer should we use our body for these instruments of wickedness. Verse 13b, but rather. Wow, that's an incredible two words that God has placed right here. But rather, here's what we need to do now. Now that you're raised to walk in new life, in the second part of verse 13. But rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. And so offer yourself to God. We see this in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So from now on, we need to offer our bodies to him. You wake up in the morning, you get in that place of prayer, and you just need to say, Lord, I give you myself. I put myself on your altar. I'm still alive. I'm a sacrifice given to you, Lord. I'm still alive, but I'm yours. In other words, use me however you want. Do whatever you want. I give myself to you, all that I am. I offer it to you. That's what he's telling us to do here. Offer your bodies to God. Because now, in verse 14, you are under grace. Sin is not your master anymore. You see, if you're under law, then sin would be your master. If you're under law, you're a slave to sin, and the penalty is death and hell. But once you become under grace, sin is not your master anymore. We see this backing up in 5:20. And then going forward to where we began. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? You are alive to Him. You are forgiven and pure in His sight. Now you can be like Isaiah 6 and the prophet Isaiah. You see, he realized how wicked he was and how awful he was and how sinful he was. And he said, woe to me. I am ruined. I'm a sinner. But then God made him clean. And then when God did His work and God cleaned Isaiah, and cleansed him and purified him. Then Isaiah was saying, oh, well, now that you've cleaned me, here I am. You can send me. You can use me for whatever you want. That's the message for you and for me. You died to sin. If your faith's in Christ, you are clean. You have been purified. And now you need to raise your hand and say, Lord, I offer myself to you. I give myself to you. How do you want to use me? I'm your living sacrifice. Is He the King of you? If you've died to self, if you've given yourself to Him, if you've realized your sinfulness and you've put your faith in Him and called on Him to save you, are you allowing Him to be King over you, to rule and reign over you? I want you to think about that for just a moment. We're going to listen to this song. I just want to encourage you to just listen to this. You can look at the words. If you want to sing it, you can. But as this song plays, you just sit there before the Lord. You just talk to the Lord. You just meditate. And you ask Him, Jesus, am I allowing you to be King over me, to rule and reign over me? Have I given myself completely to you? Am I offering myself to you? Are you the King of me? Whatever you discover, maybe this is the time you say, well, I want you to be. I give you everything. Listen to this song and you pray.
Love, how can it be? forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Now I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Because you died on the cross. Amazing love, how can it be? To my King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can
right now, Lord, and would you please work in our hearts, Lord? Lord, may every person here be able to sing that next line to you. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Lord, if there's someone here today who has not allowed you to be their King, Lord, help them. Lord, maybe you've spoken to them. Maybe they're ready for you to be their King. Lord, would you help them right now, Lord, to say, Jesus, I need you. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned against you. I thank you. I know you went to that cross and you paid for my sins. I believe that you're raised from the dead. But Lord, I've been in control of my own life. I've been the boss. I've been doing my own thing. But Lord, not anymore. I want you to be my King. Lord, I want to surrender to you. I want to submit to you. I want to offer myself to you. I want you, Lord Jesus, to be my King. Come into my life, Lord. Be my King. Save me from my sins. Help me to follow you. Lord, maybe there's somebody else that, Lord, wants to pray. Lord, I know you're my King, but Lord, in a new way, in a fresh way, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been doing my own thing for too long. Lord, I've been away from you. Lord, I've been not living for you. I haven't been allowing you to be my King, but I know you've already saved me. But Lord, I want you to rule and reign over me. I want to submit to you. I surrender to you. I give you my life. And today, Lord, I want you to be my King. Lord, maybe there's somebody else that is just saying, Lord, I've surrendered to you. Lord, even in this time of prayer, I've allowed you to be my King. I want that. And Lord, so I know that you've already cleaned me, you've purified me, and now it's time to serve you, Lord. It's time to do whatever you want, Lord. And Lord, I know they need a body of believers to do that through. So, Lord, if there's somebody who needs to join this church, Lord, that they need to identify here with a body of believers so that they can serve you, that they can offer themselves to you. Lord, help them. Let them know. And Lord, if there's any other decision that needs to be made this morning, Lord, speak it. Speak it to each heart. Help each person to do what you call them to do. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Doug's going to lead us right now in a final song. And as he does, maybe the Lord has done something significant in your life today. Maybe you've realized today that you are a believer. Maybe you have heard this good news. You've realized what Jesus did for you on the cross. You've resisted it up until this point. But finally, you have said, Lord, I believe. And I want you to be king over me. I want you to rule my life. I give you my life. If that's you this morning, then as Doug leads us in this song, you need to make that public. That's what Scripture shows. Throughout the book of Acts, anytime that the good news went out, they would know there was a certain number that believed. Well, how did they know that? Well, I guess they publicly let everybody know. Well, I believe now. This has just happened to me. So that's you. If that's you this morning, then you come forward as he leads us in this song and you come and you tell me and I'll share that with everybody. Maybe you've realized that you're already a believer, but this is your congregation. This is where God wants you to plug in and be a member. Well, you can come and you can make that decision as well. Maybe you're rededicating your life to Christ. You can come and publicly proclaim that. Let everybody know that. That'll be an encouragement to everybody. And as you believe, as God has done this in your life, of course, the next step is baptism. You want to believe and be baptized. And we'll talk about that too. But whatever your decision, as you come, as Doug leads us in this song.